This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Whether they're on your Kindle, your iPad, or as good old-fashioned physical books, this summer has been a fantastic season for reading. From Tom Perata's The Leftovers to Madeline Miller's The Song of Achilles, New England writers have published some of this year's most exciting books. And the region has also served as the inspiration for many tremendous stories as well. And Anthony, you were recently raving about one.
It's true. So my recommendation is The Marriage Plot by Jeffrey Eugenides, which I had the pleasure to read over a brief break earlier this summer. He, of course, comes from Detroit, but the book is inspired in part by New England. It's set at Brown University in Providence, where Jeffrey Eugenides went. It's a sprawling, lovely love story, spiritual seeking book that takes you to Calcutta and Mother Teresa's, one of Mother Teresa's charities. It takes you into the world of William James, the variety of religious experiences, all the while just being sort of this gripping story about relationships and love, and I recommend it highly. And my first book, Meghna, that I read on a Kindle, although independent bookstore owners, I did have the hard copy as well.
Well, it sounds like a great pick, so I'm putting that one on my list because I have to be honest, my reading list is right now kind of full of the books that my daughter reads, so The Adventures of Lowly Worm, The Story of Ferdinand the Bull, but still, it's very joyful reading. And today, we're going to be talking about what you listeners have on your summer reading list, particularly what New England authors are very exciting to you, and are there stories based here, books based here that you could just not put down? And what do you think, or why do you think, this region is a never-ending source of inspiration for so many writers, whether to live here or to write about? And by the way, what stories do you think are not being told? Call us and tell us what is on your book list this summer. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. I am delighted to say that we are joined in the studio by Alice Hoffman. She is author of more than 18 novels, including Here on Earth, At Risk, and Green Angel. Her latest is The Dove Keepers. Alice Hoffman, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's nice to be here again.
It's really great to have you. Also with us is Mary Cotton. She is owner of Newtonville Books, great bookstore in Newton, and the author of 9 young adult novels she wrote under a pen name, which was...
Oh, I
don't know
if
maybe you shouldn't say. Okay, maybe you shouldn't say. Don't want your publisher to get mad.
But I want to know.
But I can say that I will say that you are fiction editor for Post Road, a literary magazine. How's that?
That's perfect.
Mary Cotton, it's great to have you at Radio Boston.
Thank you so
Welcome.
Much for having me. That's
so before we dive into your picks for great summer reading, I just want to ask both of you, sort of in general, how's the season been for books? How's this summer read? How have you felt about what's been out there on offer?
Oh, it's great. I feel like there have been a lot of things this year, a lot of meaty things people can dig into, and a lot of sort of lighter things for those who want that. In general, when people are looking for summer reading, I think they're thinking of something they can really escape into. And so sometimes that's just, it's a great story, great writing.
And Alice, have you been able to find that escape?
You know, I have been able to find that escape, but a lot of times you're looking for a beach book. But I really, my first pick, I think the best book I've read this summer, the best book I've read all year, is Toni Morrison's new book, Home.
So tell us a little bit about it.
It's just, you know, I think she's the greatest living writer. And this book, Home, is a very dreamy, kind of almost brief book. You can read it in one sitting, but it is so mesmerizing. You feel like you enter into the world of this veteran of Korea in the 50s. It's very, very intense. And it's really about his search for home. And it's a very brutal, violent world that he lives in. And of course, you know, Toni Morrison's language is like no one else's. Mm. And you just get immersed into her world.
And did you have a little excerpt of hers that you wanted to read?
Yeah, okay. I do. Although I feel funny reading her words that are so incredible. Please forgive me for not being Toni Morrison, but I will do the best I can. They rose up like men. We saw them. Like men, they stood. We shouldn't have been anywhere near that place. Like most farmland outside Lotus, Georgia, this one here had plenty of scary warning signs. The threats hung from wire, mesh fences with wooden stakes every 50 or so feet. But when we saw a crawl space that some animal had dug, a coyote maybe or a coon dog, We couldn't resist. Just kids we were. The grass was shoulder high for her and waist high for me. Looking out for snakes, we crawled through it on our bellies. And the reward was worth the harm grass juice and clouds of gnats did to our eyes. Because right there in front of us, about 50 yards off, they stood like men.
Mm. That's great. Yeah, you can really feel just how word by word she pulls you in. Like
she
you
pulls
were
you into the story. Who's in the field? Who are these two people climbing under the fence? I mean, I get chills when I read her work.
You know what I found most interesting about this pick of yours is that Toni Morrison was writing about the 1950s here, and I heard an interview with her on the CBC on how she really wanted to pick this time period in America because she basically felt like we're in a phase right now where we look back at the 50s with great nostalgia, but maybe there is reason not to. So we've got a clip of Toni Morrison telling us a little bit more about that.
The world is going on, but there's this notion that it has left behind the golden age of the United States. You know, after the World War II, people were making money. Soldiers came back and went to college, and the television shows were happy, and, I don't know, cars were beautiful. And we still think of it that way, apparently. And I think we have erased the truth about the 50s, which was the Korean War, which they never called a war. Also, that was violent. There was a lot of slaughter of black people during the 50s.
That's Toni Morrison talking about the inspiration for her new book, Home, which is Alice Hoffman's first pick on her summer reading list. Mary Cotton, you know, the thing that I heard when Toni Morrison was saying that was she almost felt like she had to, as a novelist, put forth a different view of a time that right now in popular culture seems to be really celebrated. It's like the novelist striking back almost.
Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely true, and that actually ties in with one of my books. It's called When We Were the Kennedys by Monica Wood, and it's her memoir of growing up in Mexico, Maine. Her father passed away of a heart attack very suddenly in the beginning of 1963, and leaving behind his large Catholic family with four young girls. And for about 6 months, her family sort of floated around wondering how to deal with this. And then the Kennedy assassination happened. And in a sort of amazing way, they were able to draw inspiration from how Jacqueline Kennedy and the family were able to respond to this tragedy in their own family. And so seeing it on the national scale brought a lot of things, their own personal pain, they were able to reconcile it. And this is just, it's a wonderful memoir of that time in this one family in Maine.
Oh, that's really interesting. And the author's name again?
Monica Wood.
Monica Wood. You know, because right now with Mad Men being all the rage, people are sort of reliving this era on TV. But this is someone talking about how it really happened.
How it
life.
Really happened. And also it's sort of as far away from Manhattan ad world that you could get. It's a small paper town in western Maine. It was the mill was everyone's industry. It revolved around that, and it's really about that way of life and the dying of that way of life as time goes on.
History does touch every corner, doesn't
it?
We are talking about great summer reads, whether they're by New England authors or based here, or maybe just something that you picked up at the bookstore and fell in love with. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, and tell us what's on your reading list. What could you not put down? Again, we're at 800-423-8255. Alice Hoffman, so we started off with Home by Toni Morrison, then we moved to When We Were the Kennedys. What's next on your list?
Well, next on my list is a book that I'm in love with. It's a book by Annie Leibovitz with an introduction by Doris Kearns Goodwin, who I consider a national treasure. Her introduction is amazing. It really sets the scene for these photographs. And what's interesting, you know, Annie Leibovitz is so known for her portraits, but these are objects and places.
So the book is called Pilgrimage.
Pilgrimage, yes, right. And it's often a pilgrimage to a writer's house or, you know, a famous politician. There are photographs of Abe Lincoln's hat and gloves that give more of an essence, I think, of Abe Lincoln than anything I've ever seen.
It was really interesting when I was told that this was one of your picks because, A, Annie Leibovitz has a show right now up at the Concord Museum, which you can go see some of these pictures if you can't pick up the book. And a lot of the photographs she took were New England-based as well. Emily Dickinson's house, Thoreau's cabin at Walden. But you said that there's a part of the introduction written by Doris Kearns Goodwin that you really loved.
I really love it because, you know, when we were talking about history with Toni Morrison and the idea that how easy it is to forget history or rewrite history or erase history. And I think that's why this is such an important book. And there are so many New England areas that she goes to. She goes to the Alcott House and Emerson's house. And this is just the beginning of Doris Kearns Goodwin's introduction. I mean, she's such an amazing historian because she makes other periods come alive for us. So this is the beginning of her introduction. As a historian, nothing matters more to me than the chance to wander through the rooms where my subjects lived and worked. To imagine them coming down the stairs for breakfast, writing steadily at their desks, entertaining guests at the dinner table, settling down in their favorite chairs to read. The people may be gone, but the houses remain. The landscape may have changed. The furniture, rugs, and draperies may be only the best representation of what was thought to have existed at the time. And yet, somehow, as one moves from room to room, the people who live there are brought to life.
That's Alice Hoffman reading Doris Kearns Goodwin's introduction to Annie Leibovitz's new book. Yes. What a chain of great names there.
They are great. And I have to say, that exhibit at the Concord Museum is amazing.
Well worth the visit. Yeah. The book is called Pilgrimage. And actually, I have a little bit of tape of Annie Leibovitz herself talking about why these photographs in particular meant a lot to her. Because she didn't take them while on assignment. These are places and things that she went to go visit that just meant something in particular to her. And in the dedication page is a photograph of Robert Frost's manuscript of Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening. So here's Annie Leibovitz on a radio show at KCRW in California describing why seeing that manuscript and photographing it meant so much to her.
When you can see on this, as he's writing this poem, that which, I mean, how remarkable to repeat, you know, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. And you see, you know, him crossing words out and you see his struggle, you know, with writing the piece. And to me, it fit the page where I dedicated the book to my children. Because I wanted them to know that there's miles to go before I sleep, that, you know, we have more ahead of us, that we're going, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm an older parent and I'm going to hang in there.
That's Annie Leibovitz talking about one of the photographs that appears in her new book, Pilgrimage. Mary Cotton, one thing that piece of tape really highlighted for me is a thread that I see in both your and Alice Hoffman's lists. It's as if there's a surge of writers, maybe some of whom are very well known, who are kind of going back to basic, elemental things of importance to their personal lives, mm-hmm. whether in fiction or nonfiction. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, in your list, there's The Unfinished Life of Elizabeth D.,
yes.
Which by Nicole Bernier. Mm-hmm. And great book, in part inspired by the fact that she lost one of her friends in the September 11th attacks.
And I think it's true. I think a lot of people, as a way to understand something better that has happened in real life, especially if they have an artistic bent, they're able to work it into their artwork, and Alice can probably attest to that. But just as a way to try and understand something, to turn it into fiction, to see it from a different point of view. And this is a wonderful novel. It's called The Unfinished Work of Elizabeth D. And it's about a woman whose best friend passes away and leaves to her journals. And she's written in journals for years and years. And she leaves them sort of unexplained to her friend, the narrator. And as the narrator reads through these, she discovers that her friend wasn't exactly the way she thought, which is the way life is. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful. It's set on a Nantucket-like island. And you get the sense of of escape in this, escape of trying to solve mysteries in your past and in other people you know.
In a previous interview that Nicole Bernier, am I saying Bernier, that right?
I think it's Bernier.
Bernier gave...
That's how I...
She said something which really kind of put my heart in my throat. She said the shimmer, as she called it, which is actually a reference to another writer's term for why they're attracted to certain themes, but she said, the shimmer for me was the incomplete obit, the discrepancy between the public and the private self. We all die with bits of our story untold.
Right, that's great. And just the idea that someone could have their story told in journals in their own words as the sort of treasure that her friend finds.
Yeah, and yet that's even great. That's incomplete because we who survive, our loved ones, we're left to sort of fill in those pieces that maybe the person themselves didn't want to.
Right.
Sounds like a wonderful read. While we have a chance, let's take a quick call. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And we are reading about great... We're reading. We're talking about great summer reads. Liz is calling from Andover. You're on the air, Liz.
Hi. Thanks for having my call. I just wanted to highly recommend Ken Follett's Fall of Giants. It's the first in what's going to be called his Century Trilogy, and it begins with World War One. It's a sweeping, very accurate historical fiction piece with perspectives from Russia, from England, from America, and from Germany, and how all these different characters are swept up into the First World War. And it leaves off, you know, obviously ends at a point where you're just dying to know more. He was known back in the... gosh, I guess in the 80s as being sort of a spy thriller sort of novel. I remember reading, or novelist, and I remember reading his books, but I've just rediscovered him as a historical fiction writer. He wrote the Pillars of the Earth series, which, was made into some sort of a miniseries. The books were fabulous as well. He's really got a knack for the historical fiction. I just can't recommend it highly enough. Plus, the sequel, the next book, I think, which is Winter, World in Winter, comes out in September.
Liz, thank you so much for your call. So that's a hearty recommendation for Fall of Giants by Ken Follett, a World War One, I should say, historical fiction. While we're on the theme of those two cataclysmic 20th century wars, Mary, you actually have a nonfiction pick that has to do with World War II.
I do, and it's wonderful. I'm actually, because I love fiction so much, it really takes a great story in nonfiction to draw me in, and this is it. It's called Lost in Shangri-La by Mitchell Zuckoff, who lives in the area. And he found this story that had been a little... forgotten. Near the end of World War II, a plane carrying 24 members of the U.S. military crashed into the New Guinea jungle. And there were only three survivors who were stranded in the jungle, notorious for its cannibalistic tribes. And this is about how they survived, how they were rescued, what was going on in the world when this was happening. And it's this fascinating story. It reads like fiction, and it's crazy to believe that this happened, and he does a great job with it.
He's quite a writer, a professor of journalism at Boston University, and amongst the three survivors was a woman, I believe.
Yes.
Her name is Margaret Hastings, and she was a corporal in the Women's Army Corps. We have a little bit of tape from Mitchell Zuckoff here talking about why he really wanted to focus on her in telling the story of these three military survivors in the jungles of New Guinea.
The idea that these three survivors, one of them a woman, was there and had somehow survived the plane crash, and they couldn't get them out, and they were living with a prehistoric tribe, and it was just sitting there waiting for me to find it. I end up focusing on Margaret quite a bit for several reasons. One is that there's an old line in my line of work, you go where the light is. You know, she had a diary, and she recorded her thoughts and feelings. And the other fact is, she was the most extraordinary. You don't usually get a female character in a wartime survival story. So that combination of factors certainly made her extraordinary, and I was going to focus on her.
It sounds like such an amazing read, especially since it really happened.
Absolutely. It's great. Pick it up.
Alice, we've got time for another one on your list.
Well, I have to say, you know, so many of these books that we've been talking about are survivor stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that I have written a survivor story that came out this summer about four women who survive, well, they don't all survive, but four women at the siege of Masada in 70 CE. And I think there's an idea of the untold history of the survivor that's really fascinating, whether it's in fiction or nonfiction.
This is your latest book, The Dove Keepers.
The Dove Keepers, yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, you know, I never expected or wanted to write it, but I visited Masada, and I was really stunned at the idea of all of these people who lived there who did not have their stories told, especially the women. And there's so few stories told about women in the ancient world. So
tell us a little bit more about the siege and why, I mean, was such a, the story of that was so compelling to you.
It's so compelling because, you know, nobody really knows the truth, but the story is that, you know, the 900 people who were there committed suicide rather than be taken by the Romans as slaves. And it's very important to Jewish history and to Jewish identity, but there aren't many women mentioned in these stories. So I wanted to try to tell the story in the voice of four different women.
I'd love to hear a little excerpt if you could.
Sure, I'd love to. Thank you. This is a story. This is four different women tell the story, and this is the last woman who tells the story. My mother taught me everything a woman must know in this world and all it was necessary to carry into the world to come. By the age of 8, I had learned that the leaf of a date palm boiled in water was a cure for a scorpion bite, and that the nectar of the spiky blue flower of the hyssop dabbed on the wrist could ward off evil. I had the tooth of a black dog strung around my neck as protection against wild beasts, and took care to recite an incantation when I dug around the roots of henbane, the holy plant, for I often buried my mother's amulets as offerings to Ashitoreth, the goddess who watched over us in times of strife.
That's Alice Hoffman reading from her new book, The Dove Keepers. Beautiful, beautifully written. And
I
love that. What I love is that you've reached back into a story that maybe some people know, but it's that subset of those who experienced it that no one knows about that you tried to flesh out.
That's what I tried to do. And I think in all of the books that we're talking about, that's what makes it interesting. You know, it's a familiar story in a way, but told by a very specific voice.
Absolutely. Mary, we've got time just a little bit for one more pick. What would you like to wrap
us
up with?
This is a book that I love to just sort of press into everyone's hands. It's called The Flight of Gemma Hardy by Margot Livesey. And it's a retelling of Jane Eyre. And you don't have to have read and love Jane Eyre to appreciate this, but if you were someone who read it and who just could not get enough of it, then this is just perfect. She reimagines Jane Eyre in sort of the 1950s, 60s Scotland. And so times are different. Obviously, things have changed a little bit, although, as she points out, the 1960s Scotland was not this swinging London. It was a little
life
was a bit tougher, a little slower. The women's movement hadn't quite hit yet, but you just plunge into it and you don't want to let go.
I heard an interview with Margot Livesey, and she said that when she was a young girl and she first read Jane Eyre, she was just very much able to dive right into the story because she felt such an immediate personal connection to it. And now brought that forward into sort of a new setting.
And it's beautiful. I know she has a very deep connection to Jane Eyre, and you can feel it in this. And so it just gives it a new life, and just it's wonderful.
So that is Margot Livesey's new book, The Flight of Gemma Hardy, another author from around here as
well.
She
is. She's from the area. Not sure exactly where.
Well, that is just the beginning of two fabulous summer reading lists that the both of you have brought in. And listeners, if you want to take a glimpse at the books that we didn't get a chance to talk about, go to our website, radioboston.org, and definitely leave us a comment there on what you're reading as well. Mary Cotton, owner of Newtonville Books and author of 9 young adult novels by a pen name which we will not reveal. Thank you so much for coming in. Really a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having us.
And Alice Hoffman, author of more than 18 novels, including The Dove Keepers, your latest. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for coming back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, stay with us because coming up next, ideas for your weekend and the soulful sound of Jamie Woods and Nick Hakim. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.